Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Happy Wednesday to you. Well, with that National Day of Prayer approaching, there are many ways we can intercede for our nation and many ways we need to. So I've got a good friend back in studio with me today, Dan Adler, singer-songwriter, worship leader, and all-around kingdom man. He's here to, with his guitar, he's going to sing some songs for us. But we're going to talk about intercession. We're going to talk about how we can pray for our nation. And I'd love to know how you're praying for our nation. So feel free at any time to chime into the conversation. Toward the end of the show, we're going to talk about some events that Dan's involved in here in the Twin Cities. So if you want to make the trek, you sure can, because God's doing something. Actually, he's doing something in every city. So you might want to find the events happening in your city as well. But there are lots of ways to get involved, to engage, right? And second hour, my friend Dr. Greg Smalley will be back to talk about handling crisis and stress, especially in marriage. How do you navigate those waters of stress, hardship, and crisis while hanging on to your marriage and preserving intimacy with each other? So great 2 hours planned for you today. So here's my question for you as this first hour unfolds. What news item are you praying over these days? What news item or what way are you interceding for our nation? A number of people on Facebook said praying for religious freedom, praying for our society, that they'll not lose respect for the dignity of all human life. What about you? 877-933-2484. So let me tell you about my friend Dan, and we'll get him on the show. Dan Adler has been performing since 1984. Together, he and his wife Sandy founded Heart of the City Ministries to build bridges between races and denominations. He and Sandy lead these events with their 22-piece interracial Heart of the City worship band. They've released several worship CDs, including It All Belongs to You, What We Really Need, and With One Voice. I feel like many of Dan's songs are so they all are theologically rich, but many of them feel like modern day hymns to me. He's a deep, rich lyricist. So you got to check out his music. He and Sandy have two grown children, Daniel and Ben, and they've been living in the Minneapolis area their whole life. And I know this because so have I. Welcome back to the show, Dan.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So good to be with you as well. You know this. You've been on plenty of times. We love to start out talking scripture, and I know you are a man of the word. So is there a verse that God maybe has been speaking to you about these days you can share with us?
Oh, man. I should have thought about that ahead of time. Well, you know, the passage for the National Day of Prayer is the kind of their theme verse is called, hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. Hmm. And I think, wow, you know, just that simple prayer of God, you know, hearing our cry. And as there's so many things to be praying about and so many concerns, you know, and it's great to know that he hears us.
Yeah, indeed. I've talked about this an awful lot lately because it's so on my heart. But in this day of Christians finger pointing and truly where there's a reaction because the energy is so amped up that people are jumping on things and accusing and assigning motives in the midst of, I know, fear and concern. But what it does, it's so adversarial that it's disheartening because, you know, we're attacking our own in a way. And I was thinking about that passage in Ezekiel where it talks about Sodom's sins. And we know Sodom is a city of great sexual perversion. But Ezekiel says Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, and apathy, while the poor and needy suffer outside her door. And what I want to talk about just for a moment here is, yes, there are grave issues before us, but I think for revival to happen among us, it needs to happen in us. So to go to look at that verse, pride, gluttony, and apathy, while the poor and needy suffer outside her door. Pride. Have I thought more of ourselves or opinions than we should have? That's pride. Check. You know, have we consumed more than we should? Check. Have we turned an apathetic eye away from those in need that we could have actually helped ourselves? Yes. Yeah. And so looking at that, isn't that a great place to start to say, Lord, you know, I'm drawing a circle around my own life and revive the person inside. I want you just to say a word about personal conviction, because we can shake our fist all day long at injustices, but feeling strongly about something is not the same as doing something about it.
Right. And I think sometimes we can get diverted from ourselves. You know, it's like it's like sometimes even like in a I've seen some examples when someone's in a marriage, if they're married to an alcoholic, and there's someone finds the identity of being the good person, and when the alcoholic gets well, then they're very uncomfortable with that because their own stuff has never been a focal point because they've had to, they're always clearly everybody, I'm the victim of the poor, bad person, you know, which in many ways they are. But, you know, and so we do the same kind of things. I think when we get issues that become so big and it's like this lack of, we can really lose humility about our own stuff. And it's not, it doesn't have to be one or the other, I don't think.
No. Yeah.
certainly be concerned about the issues. But I think to get our hearts where, you know, we're, where am I at? And it's like, and what is my attitude in which I'm approaching these things where they become substitute issues, you know, like, and, I mean, the basic thing in 1 Corinthians 13, without love, I'm nothing. So, you know, I can be absolutely right politically. I can have the absolute right doctrine. I can have the right stance on every single thing. And if I don't have love, I'm nothing.
Noise. Gains nothing.
Yeah, it's worthless. I mean, that passage kind of freaks me out because it goes, even if I give my body to be burned, and go, what? You know, wow. So somebody could get themselves to where they were a martyr and they were burned, but they didn't have love. It was worthless. And I, so I think, you know, these when issues, you know, we need to be humble and we need to look at ourselves most of all in the midst of our interceding and our concerning and our activism, if there is activism to be involved. Francis Frangipane said a huge thing years ago that has never left me. I thought it was the most powerful things I've ever heard. And he talked about how there is a role. Basically, it says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. You know, that's his role. He's accusing us all the time, and he doesn't have to make anything up. You know, and it says that Jesus stands at the right of the Father. He's interceding for us. And so you see Jesus as the intercessor. And so he says you have a choice to make when you see an issue. Who are you going to align yourself with?
Wow, yeah.
The accuser or the intercessor?
Yeah.
And I say, oh, how many times have I been the accuser? You know, align myself with the accuser of the brethren even, you know, versus the intercessor where I see an issue, I see a concern, and will I become like Jesus and intercede and intercede and intercede?
It's such a good word. I always told my boys this when they were growing up and starting to care about the things that they were seeing around them, that if you have to let go of love to hang on to your cause, you've lost your way.
Yeah.
If you have to let go of love to hang on to your cause, and to go back to your analogy about the spouse of the addict, once the addict gets better, it's an uncomfortable time for the spouse because maybe they were almost inoculated from their issues because they could point to the bigger issues.
Right.
Perfect analogy, I think, as we intercede, because there are things to be concerned about, but there are things in your own heart, access points in your own heart that the enemy can get at. And I submit that's the place we sin from, Dan. That's where our blind spots lie. That's the stuff that people stumble over in us. And so this is why I believe that when Jesus says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, you know, turn from their wicked ways.
Yes.
Now, the blatant wicked ways are the, you know, indulgences and the excesses. But it's also wicked to jump on somebody and stand in the line of the accuser of the brethren when you only have part of the information.
Yeah.
And so humble, God, forgive us. And I'm so excited for you to share your music today. And I want you to tell us about the song, We Can Pray, because this is something we can do, and it should start with humbling ourselves and praying. Talk about the song.
Yeah, this is a song I wrote actually quite a few years ago. I've never recorded it. Someday maybe I'll get it there, but
it'll be recorded today, so you can get it on the show.
There we go. You know, it's really that sense of overwhelmness, I think, that breeds a song like this for me. It asks a lot of questions. It says, where do we go when the world all around us is falling apart? Where do we turn with our broken heart? Where do we look for a brand new start? What can we do to keep the when the enemy seems so overwhelmingly strong? What can we do to keep fighting on? What gives us power to carry on? And my answer is we can pray. I don't have sometimes I don't have a lot of other things to say than that. You know, we can pray. We can call on the one with all might in his hand. We can call on the one who will understand and know that he won't turn away. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of the birthing behind this thing of going, okay, this prayer thing is not like something we have to do or this boring thing. This is our answer. This is, you know, when people, you know, if you look at like way back in the book of Genesis, somewhere I remember a passage where it talked about, and then that was a time when people started to call on the name of the Lord. You know, like the idea that, okay, we're all of a sudden they weren't. And now we're paying attention to God and we're going, okay, we are desperate. You are our lifeline, our source. The thing about prayer that bugs us is that it isn't like call and response. You know, like we don't get the thing and okay, this and push the button and, you know, put your dollar in and you get your candy bar out. You know, it's like, you know, you bring it to God and God's going to make his choices. And I think sometimes because we don't see something immediately, sometimes because there's that whole reality of we have to wait upon the Lord. And waiting upon the Lord is something we don't really particularly like, you know, and then sometimes we don't do it. But it's like going, this is a powerful thing. This is an awesome privilege that we can go to God who won't turn us away.
Mm, indeed. Well, let's hear it.
Where do we go when the world all around us is falling apart? Where do we turn with our broken heart? Where do we look for a brand new start? What can we do when the enemy seems overwhelmingly strong? What can we do to keep fighting on? What gives us power to carry on? We can pray. We can call on the one with all might in his hand. Call on the one who will understand and know that he won't turn away. We can pray. We can call on the Father through Jesus the Son, knowing he loves us like no other one. Whenever we can't find our way, we can pray. How can we walk in the light in a place that seems darker each day? How can we see clear to find our way? How can we live and not go astray? Where can we go to be filled with the Spirit in all of His might? How can we find strength to stand and fight? What do we do to keep shining bright? We can pray. We can call on the one with all might in His hand. Call on the one who will understand. Know that He won't turn away. We can call on the Father through Jesus the Son, knowing He loves us like no other one. Whenever we can't find our way, we can pray. We can pray. We can pray. We can pray.
Powerful. You really do need to record that, but we'll have this one out there until you do, right? Excellent. Talking to Dan Adler in studio today, just prepping for the big National Day of Prayer, and you don't have to wait till a week from tomorrow to pray. We can pray right now and today. And thinking about that, the scripture talks about that a darkness covers the earth, a thick darkness of people, but the glory of the Lord will rise on His people. You know, the glory is when we walk in such intimacy with God that we reflect His love. I mean, that is the highest order of the day. And scripture says perfect love casts out fear. And isn't the fear what the enemy is using right now to bully us, manipulate us, shove us in a corner?
Yeah.
Perfect love casts out fear. In a moment, we're going to play a song, one of my favorites by the Adlers, and they have like 11 billion songs, but this one, As We Draw Near You, and I'm going to have you speak to it in a minute. But I want to just read, because you referenced 1 Corinthians 13. Give me some guitar background music, because he can just do that, so he's that good. Ready? If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I'd only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I'd be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body to the flames, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I'd have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. Keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, as in a cloudy mirror. But then we'll see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Boy, that's our heart, I think, to pray for this nation, that perfect love would cast out your fear, that you put that enemy's fear under your feet, and that you would search your own heart, so that if you're one person who walks in the winsome, fearless love of God, I mean, a revival could spring out in and through you. And Dan, if you wouldn't mind, talk to us about this song before we hear it, As We Draw Near You.
Well, there's that passage that says, you know, draw near to the Lord, and he will resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Wow, what a beautiful thought. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful, hopeful thing. And a challenge to us to resist the devil. You know, it's, don't be passive. We have to resist him. And we don't be passive, but we draw near to God. And he responds to that, which is a wonderful thing. And so that's really the song, just talking, you know, just that seeking God in our pain, seeking God in our fear, seeking God in our sadness, our repentance, whatever it might be, we draw near to him. And as we do, he draws near to us. And how beautiful that, you know, if we've been sinful, that we don't have to run from God. We'd run to God. And he forgives us of our sins, mm-hmm. because, you know, he doesn't mark our transgressions. But if we're overwhelmed with sadness or in pain in our life, or we're just so afraid, we can run to him for that too. You know, mm-hmm. I look around the world and I see Christians being beheaded and being tortured to death and stuff like that. I'm afraid of that. You know, honestly, and go, wow, and the day very likely could come in my lifetime. And so I could draw near to God and say, strengthen me. I want to be like those guys by mm-hmm. the ocean in their orange jumpsuits about to get their heads sawed off. You know, it's like, I want to be willing, and I want to have my eyes fixed on you like so many saints have, and willing to suffer. This passage is in Scripture that says they joyfully gave up their possessions, you know, when they were taken from them. You know, wow, that seems a lot of it's probably worse than getting martyred. Mm. You know, someone took away my job and my house and my car because I was a Christian. Am I at that place? You know, so, you know, when I go to a song like this, I'm going with all that stuff and just drawing near.
You know, and again, boiling it down, I mean, you think of these martyrs, these Coptic Christians about to be beheaded. They're my son's ages, most of them in their early 20s. And I read how one of the son's moms was so proud of her son, but also said she had such a broken heart for the ISIS members. And she said, if they came to my town today, I would have them for dinner in the chance that they would accept Christ. And Dan, I just have to say, that's love.
Absolutely.
And I think because we've been so propped up by our wealth and our freedom and our rights, this is why we're such fist-shaking Christians. Yeah. And our life and our kingdom mentality and perspective has to be boiled back down to love for the lost, love for the Lord, love for others. And I think that response that this mom had won't be instinctive for us unless we steward this perspective now. And so draw near to him. Let him draw near to you. And open your hands and see what God will do. What album is this on? Songs for the Battle?
Songs from the Battle. It's also on a Heart of the City project. But,
okay. Beautiful song. One of my favorites. Let's listen in.
As we draw near you, we draw near, as we draw near you, we draw near you, Lord, we draw near you. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Oh Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, can correct my sins, who can stand? There is forgiveness, therefore your fear. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. I wait for you.
As we draw near, as we draw.
As we draw near, that's a Dan Adler song off of Songs for the Battle and one other album as well. I've got Dan Adler in studio today. We're talking about how to pray for our nation. Love to know what's on your heart. What's your burden for your nation? I know some listen from outside the U.S. I'd still love to know. You can call us toll-free, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. But, you know, the purpose of today's show is to get you to look up. I mean, Scripture says to look at the things, to focus on what's not seen, because the things that we see, as terrible as some of these things are, they're temporary. They will fade away. But the things we can't see, they're eternal. And God wants us to remind our souls who we are and whose we are. More with Dan Adler in just a moment.
We can pray, we can call on the one with all might in his hand, call on the one who will understand and know that he won't turn away. We can pray, we can call on the Father through Jesus the Son, knowing he loves us like no other one, whenever we can't find a way. We can can pray.
And you said it wasn't recorded. This is how good our producer is. He grabbed it when you sang it live, and he played it as a bumper. Well done, Matt. Awesome. So this is I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. That's Dan Adler, and he sang that song live just a little bit ago. And we're talking about how we can pray for our nation, how we can intercede. Boy, if there's ever a time to be praying, it is now, Dan. And you and I were talking during the break that once in a while you'll hear Christians say, well, we're in the latter days, and some of this is just going to be the unfolding of end-time events. I mean, how should we pray if, you know, we're on a slippery slope that we can't retrieve from? What say you?
Well, I think we can't give up. And I think the thing we need to realize is that we don't know the day or the hour. And, you know, if you think about even like World War II, and you know, when the world was aflame, and the Jews are being, you know, destroyed, and all this stuff, you certainly would have thought that was the end of the world. If there was ever an Antichrist, you certainly would have thought Hitler was the Antichrist, the beast, you know. And yet that wasn't the end. And so I think there's been, throughout all of history, since Christ's time, there have been many, many times that the church thought it was the end, because of the terrible things that were going on. And I think that, you know, that can lead to despair, and it can also leave us to just kind of give up and just kind of wait, you know, get a bunker and go hide, you know, get a bunch of extra food and wait for the worst and try to hide. And I don't think that's what God's calling us to. And I think that's the challenge of the bravery of the Christian walk, is like God's calling us to not retreat, but to actually move forward strongly. And in many times, these very worst of times is when, even though Christians are losing their lives and terrible things happening to them, the kingdom of God is being built like crazy. You know, I mean, historically, it's always been that way, where the more persecution, the more the church grows. And so, I mean, I guess in extreme places, you know, the Middle East right now, there's so much persecution, it's almost annihilated the church. So I wouldn't say that there. But still, God's doing a thing that God is working as, and he's called us to bravery.
And to be part of the redemption solution. And also, you know, to quote Frangipane again, he has so many great things to say about prayer. But he said, you know, I hear Christians shaking their fists and calling down judgment on their nation. He said, you don't think if God brings a judgment, it won't spill on you?
Yeah.
He said, mercy triumphs over judgment.
Yeah.
And I've been reading in Habakkuk, and I've just been finding this unnerving parallel between Habakkuk and America, because he was seeing just his own people, just wickedness and immorality and apostasy. And he's like, God, how long till you deal with this? And what will you do and break through? And God basically answered by saying, I'm going to send the Babylonians, a much more wicked people, to kind of purge your people. And he's like, that's your answer?
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
Yeah,
you know?
Wow.
And truly, though, in that place of utter fear, he kind of got his legs underneath him and said, I've heard of you, and I stand in awe of your fame and your deeds. And there was a point where he knew that the inevitable is coming. So he said, in your wrath, remember mercy. Like, if we've shifted to such a point where we've thumbed our nose at you too much, in your wrath, remember mercy. And then he ends that famous Habakkuk prayer, though there are no figs on the trees, no grapes on the vines, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in you. And Dan, I studied that, and that rejoice, that joy, I will be joyful in God my Savior, translates to leaping, dancing joy.
Wow.
So here again, Habakkuk's faith was boiled down to the essentials. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Again, we, I think, are coming into such a day. When you look around at where America has gone, it's incredibly unnerving. So for me, I pray, Lord, there's things that feel inevitable for our country, but in your wrath, remember mercy.
Well, and when the Israelites were taken in exile because of their sin into Babylonia, God said, settle there, plant gardens, and pray for the peace of this place where you live, because pray for their prosperity, because if they prosper, you'll prosper. You know, we're talking in wicked, wicked land. And yet God said, when you're there, make the most of it. And it was like that. One of the reasons that they got more slaughtered was they refused to do what God said. And then, you know, and then God takes a wicked leader like Nebuchadnezzar, and he uses him as his tool, you know? So it's like, man, we draw those lines in the sands too much, and you go, God will use all kinds of different people in different ways. And again, we don't have to pretend and shut our eyes and say, this is fine, everything's good. It's not. But I think it is to go, we need to pray for, it's what you said exactly right. We need to pray for blessing and mercy on our nation, because if it's destroyed, we will be destroyed with it. You know, there will be great suffering.
I've not ever heard that perspective before. I love what you just said about God calling Israelites to pray for the peace of the land. And you know, I hear from Christians who don't and won't pray for our president. What do you say to that?
And that's just unbiblical. It is absolute disobedience. It's like, you know, that is what we're called to do. And that was in a context. We're talking like Caesar, and we're talking about, you know, we're talking about Nero, and you're talking about all these horrific, horrific people who are burning, you know, lighting people on fire for lights, you know, around the courtyards of Rome. And he's saying, pray for them. Pray for them. So it's like, you know, come on.
Well,
you know,
without excuse.
Yeah, right. And it does become hateful. Then you start going, yeah, Christians, they seem kind of hateful. They're not putting to practice the verses. They pick the verses they like, and they don't pick the ones to practice. And we really have to all wrestle with that.
Indeed.
Good word.
Okay, so Healer, Come Heal Us. Tell us about that song.
Well, I wrote this song. This album called Songs for the Battle was really an album struggling with integrity and living a life of purity and following the Lord. And I think this song is really, the prayer is, start with me, heal me, because we are your body, your hands and your feet, and you've called us to be healers. And so, but I got to get healed. I got to deal with me, sort things out with me. I'm never hopeless. You know, Satan, I think if he speaks to us anything, he tells us you're hopeless. You've asked forgiveness too many times. You know, God's sick of you. And that's just not in the Bible. Thank God.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah. All right. Being way done. But start with me, heal me, take, you know, repent of my sins, whatever's broken in me that needs to be fixed, fix it. And then send me out to be a healer in the name of Jesus, because you have made us your body now.
Indeed.
Your hands and your feet.
And again, I just have holy goosebumps as you're explaining this, because this, again, I think is a word for us this hour, this day. So as you're listening, pray this prayer for yourself and pray for our nation. This is Dan Adler's song, Healer, Come Heal Us.
So much, dying you bore all our sickness and shame, so we're here to call on your name. Merciful Savior, you died for our sin. Hear our confession and wash us again. There's no sin too great that you can't wash away. So heal those who call you today.
separate note, you have the best voice ever. I love your range and your lyrics, and it's just so good, Dan.
Thank you.
So
Thank
good.
You.
My goodness.
That.
Oh, that's so good. But the prayer, heal us, you know. Think of that old, I think, I don't even know if it's a Christmas song, but let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me.
Yeah.
That is a great prayer for the hour as well. I mean, may the Lord of peace, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and always. Mm. I think as people see us walk in the peace of the Lord and the joy of the Lord and the love of the Lord, they're going to want to know what it is in us. You know, when people ask about the hope, it's because they've seen a hope.
Yeah.
And
man,
Lord, let it be for us. Mm. There's a song that I, you know, I've known you my whole adult life pretty much. And I remember this where I think you wrote this backstage before you came out to lead worship.
Yeah.
And the name of the song is All I Need Is You. Talk about how that came about for you and really how God used it.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's funny because I typically write songs with lots of lyrics. That's kind of, some people mock me because that's all right. But I've had kind of a hymn background as a kid. And so I think somehow that translated in, and maybe I just want to say a whole bunch of stuff in one song. Maybe it's not.
You can do that if you want.
I just got a lot of stuff I want to say. And so I'll fit it all in there. But anyway, this song was just the opposite. When I worked at Church of the Open Door, we were meeting in a high school at that time, and I typically would do a closing song. So I'd sit backstage behind the curtain, listen to the pastor's sermon, and try to think, okay, what's a song that would be good to close this sermon? Because I didn't just want to throw a song in there, you know. So, and I'm back then, he's doing the sermon, and I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, okay, here's the topic. And so I just started writing this little song, and it was so easy, and it was so familiar, I thought I really was stealing somebody else's song. I thought, I think this is somebody else's. Somebody can't think of, who is this? What is this song? So I thought, well, oh, well, it's a closing song. I'll just sing it once, and I'll never sing it again. And so I do this song, and it wasn't somebody else's song. It's a simple song, and it was so simple. I mean, the lyrics are so simple, but it just touched a chord with people. And ironically, I mean, of all my songs I've written, it is the number one song of mine that's sung in churches all over the country,
amazing?
And the world, different places, you know?
Mm.
And it's just the most basic of songs, but it's that basic, all I need is you, all I want is you, and my only hope is you, you know? And I think... that idea that, like, when you're talking about Habakkuk, where he gets to the point where even if there's no figs in the tree, all that stuff like that, well, somehow he got to the place where you're it, Jesus, you're it, you're the picture, and you know, I want that to be true, and I know that it's true. I know that all I need is you. Sometimes I don't know that all I want is you, you know, but it's I know it's true, and I want to live that way, you know, and but one thing I do know, I find myself as I get older is when I think about heaven, I know some people, they struggle with the idea of heaven like it seems boring or something to them, and I don't even fathom that. Or the other people do this crazy thing where it's like, yeah, he'll be riding his Harley in heaven, you know, and I don't know, that's such a distorted view of heaven. Heaven is him, and that's what I want. I cannot wait to see, I just cannot wait. I think the word relief is a huge word, but relief just to be in the presence of God and just to be with him always. That is heaven. And there is no boredom in that. There's no lack of anything. There's nothing but, I think, joy and peace and ecstasy and satisfaction. And so this song reflects that.
One quick note. I think it was Sky Giathani. At least he said it. Maybe it was someone else's quote. But he said, if you can imagine a heaven where you'd be happy, whether Jesus is there or not, he said, you'll probably not be there. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus, he's, you know, beginning and the end, and
absolutely. Mm. Wow. Yeah. You've got a different perspective. Heaven is a vista. You think it's a better earth.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's no God. You know, it's like, oh no, it's not it. That's not it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear this. And if you want to sing harmony while you're listening in your car, go ahead. You'll catch on quickly.
Yeah, and you too, Susie.
Right.
All I need is you, Jesus. All I need. You are the source of all I need. All I need is you. All I want is you. Jesus, all I want is you. You are the source of all I need, all I want is you. My only hope is you, Lord, my only hope. of all I need, my only hope is you. All I need is you. Jesus, all that I need is you. You are the source of all I need. All I need is you. You're everything that I need. It's you. Everything I need, Lord, is found in you. Everything I need, Lord, is you.
Absolutely beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. So amazing, Dan. Well, I want to say a few weeks ago we had Carter Conlon on. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a pastor at Times Square Church in New York. Okay. And a few months before 9/11, the Holy Spirit just sort of moved and landed in their midst where they just felt the sobriety to pause and to pray and prepare. And they felt like they were preparing for something, but they didn't know what. They canceled the upcoming conferences. They canceled all the kid programs. And for the next, I want to say months, few months, they just had a sacred assembly one after another praying, we're listening, Lord, prepare us.
Wow.
And they had a sense of something coming.
Wow.
And then 9/11 happened. And he said, we were the first on the ground. And at ground zero, while everybody was reeling in shock, we'd had months to prepare.
Wow.
And he's, you know, really does sense something is coming and
wow.
we need to prepare.
Yeah.
And this prayer I'm going to play before we wrap up with a couple more songs. I want to give some information of where Dan will be here at the National Day of Prayer in the Twin Cities. I want to play this clip. It does end abruptly, but as he prays for America, I want you to hear this and would love to have you comment on it as well, Dan.
Yeah.
But let's listen in.
Father, in Jesus' name, oh God Almighty, Almighty God, Almighty God, we sing a song that says, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Father, I ask, Lord, that the words of that song be prophetic, be true, that one more time, whether or not the ship is saved and it falls apart, one more time, you would give the people an opportunity to hear about you, your cross, and your mercy. Lord, I don't come to you because we've done anything right. I don't come to you based on any merit that we have, for we have none. We can't present to your throne a track record of faithfulness, for it doesn't exist. But we come to you based on the knowledge of who you are and what you did. And you went to the cross, and in your own agony, you said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And so, Lord, that's who I appeal to today. That's who I cry out to, God. That's who I pray to. For I know you, Lord. I know who you are. I know your heart. I know what you do. I know why you died. I know the grief that must be in your heart, Lord, when you have to judge a nation. For even through the prophet Ezekiel, you once said, I saw it for men, that I should not have to judge the nation. And I couldn't find one. Oh, God, how it must break your heart. Lord, but I ask you this day, remember the prayers that have been prayed in this nation from its inception, Lord. Remember the tears. And remember, oh, God, and consider the cries of this day, Lord, for those of us who still love you and want to see you one more time, show yourself merciful. Be merciful to your church, oh, God. Draw us back to you again. Rid us, Lord, God, of all the schemes and foolishness, Lord, that we've purported was from you.
You want to hear that whole interview? It's up on our website, still trending, lots of people sharing it, and it's titled America, Prepare. But any thoughts as you listen to him pray?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm kind of
just
amen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, and it's like you said, we don't have a track record. You know, it's like we don't. All we have is we have some people who've cried out for you. You've got all kinds of imperfect people. You know, you can't look at, I mean, God has certainly blessed America and used us, but we have all kinds of terrible things in our past and in our present as a nation that we've done that are wrong, but that God in his mercy would show his grace once again because of his love, because of what he's done, and that it's always been about mercy with God.
Yeah, indeed. Well, Dan, we're coming from the Twin Cities. We know we've got people listening from around the upper Midwest and around the world, actually. So I challenge you to look up National Day of Prayer, see what's happening in your own city, but really want you to talk, Dan, about what's happening here in the Twin Cities and what you're a part of.
Yeah, I've been blessed for, I don't know, it's like 25 years now, I guess, almost every year to lead worship at the Minnesota State Capitol for a National Day of Prayer gathering. And it's changed in the last few years. You know, the challenge in Minnesota is you don't know what the weather is. You may have a snowstorm or maybe a lovely spring day.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes standing out there playing guitar on the steps has been pretty unbelievable. It's sometimes really hot and then mostly cold and windy. But anyway, last year we did it indoors at the Capitol. And this year we're going to go back. And every year, by the way, when we were there, there's a group of atheists that also meet. And often they stand behind us with big flags, big banners. And while we sing, while we do our thing, they stand with a big banner. And I think they call it the National Day of Reason. You know, of course, because praying is unreasonable and believing in God is unreasonable in their perspective. And but this year they actually took a little further step and they actually booked almost the whole day there. And they're not even going to use it, but we can't get in. And plus, the Capitol is being worked
wow.
on. Yeah. And the Capitol itself is being worked on, but we would have been outside in the front like we have been before. But the Capitol have a bunch of construction, so nobody can be inside. So we were like, wow, you know, we have this wonderful committee of a diverse group of leaders, racially diverse and generationally diverse group of leaders. And so what do we do this year? Well, right across the street is a African-American church, a Berean Church of God in Christ, with a wonderful pastor, Bob Battle, who's been there for years. And they're letting us use their church. So we're going to gather at 10 o'clock in the morning this year. And we're going to gather. I'm going to lead worship for a little while. And we're going to pray. We're going to have a little bit of teaching. And what we're going to do different this year, after we pray there for a little bit, is then we're going to send people out in groups of three or four to all the government buildings around the Capitol area, praying and interceding for all those different areas of government. It's like 20 different places where they can go. And so it's an exciting opportunity. People, you know, kind of in some ways covertly going out in small groups and praying and interceding all over where they can get in the Capitol, they're going to do that. So that's kind of what we're doing this year, and that'll be starting at 10 o'clock at Berean Church of God in Christ, which is at 441 Rice Street in St. Paul. And anybody who can come out, you know, it'd be great. And then that night is the big Unite service at the Mariucci Auditorium at the U of M. Last year they had like 17,000 people there. We got Carrie Jobe and
Francis Chan
mm-hmm. Speaking, and we got a big team from the Twin Cities that I get the privilege of being a part of this year to lead worship early on as well. So that's some of the stuff that's happening. Mm-hmm. But I know there are other gatherings around the Twin Cities and in other parts of the country all over the place.
Yeah. So if you even just, you know, Google National Day of Prayer, find your city. But if you are listening in from the Twin Cities, you can go to that Mariucci Arena for free.
Yeah.
And they're expecting a large crowd. What a chance to hear Francis Chan, Carrie Jobe. And when you hear the song, All I Need Is You, a band doing that in the beginning, remember that's Dan's song. I mean, that's just such an amazing thing. Well, we're going to wrap up and pray. I wonder if we can play a portion of Revive Us. You want to say a quick word about that?
Yeah, I mean, this song says, we're not content to live our lives like those who never call your name.
Mm.
And yet, so much we do.
Yeah, so
and so
true.
The prayer is, revive us.
Okay, let's hear part of it.
We're not content to live our lives like those who never call your name. Not content to say we're Christians, but keep living just the same. We need to turn away. Oh, hear us pray. Revive us. Not content with double-mindedness that binds us up in sin. Not content to lose more battles than we ever seem to win. It's not enough to stay this weakened way. Revive us, Lord.
Dan, this has been such an amazing time, and I just treasure you and Sandy's friendship and your kingdom commitment. Love
yeah,
you guys both
you
so much.
So much.
And wondering if you would pray for our nation. Very burdened, you know, but hopeful, because he's the God of hope, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. And Lord, we seek your face. We call upon you, Lord, and we ask you to hear our cry. We ask for mercy on our nation again. Lord, that judgment wouldn't fall upon us, but there'd be a chance for a revival. Lord, that you would awaken me. You awaken each one of us as believers. Lord, start with us. Heal us. Forgive us so that we'll be healers and we'll bring truth to the world, Lord, and we'll see the gospel spread the way we've never seen it before. Lord, sometimes there's so many times where things seem hopeless and like there's no turning back, but you, there's always a chance for things to be turned around. And so we pray that, Lord, turn things around for us, Lord. Have mercy upon us. Awaken your body, first of all. We just pray revival for your people, Lord, every one of our lives, for every pastor, Lord, who's in front of a pulpit, that they would preach the word of God without fear, without compromise, Lord. It would be clear to them. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dan Adler, thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
It's great to be here.
I love having you. Well, you've been listening to Hour 1 of Live the Promise. Coming up next for Hour 2, my good friend Dr. Greg Smalley joins us to talk about how to navigate the waters of crisis, especially in marriage. Another great hour coming up. Don't go away. We'll be right back.